Judge Milton Moore, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
First of all, let's talk a little bit about your story as it relates to ULM. And your dad's story really has a lot of history to it, too.
It does. While I had many friends who attended what was then Northeast Louisiana University after we graduated from high school, I went on to LSU, where I later obtained my bachelor in law degrees. But after the summer of my freshman year, I returned home and wanted to go to summer school at Northeast. And I signed up for what was then a full load, two summer sessions, two credit hour courses each term. It was work. It was really hard work. I was afraid to miss class because you would fall so far behind. You know, I studied hard. I had excellent professors. In fact, I had the head of the history department for one class. And it was a very enjoyable summer for me. I made good grades. But every now and then I get this recurring dream that I attribute to my time at Northeast. And that is, as a lot of students have, a dream that I'm in college. The next day is the final. I haven't been to class. I hadn't bought the book. I'm not sure why I attribute it to Northeast. I guess because I was afraid to miss class.
You're right. That's a common nightmare for a lot of people. Well, your dad also was instrumental in being a part of this university. You brought by a couple of Chacahulas from the 1930s, which are fantastic. What part of your story comes from his story?
Well, my family moved to Monroe in the mid-20s. My grandfather became a radiologist at St. Francis. My father finished public schools here, graduating from Ouachita High School in 1932, and enrolled at what was then Ouachita Junior College the following year. It was just, I think, the second year of its existence. And he went here enrolling as what they would call his junior year, and then attended the following year. And I found those old yearbooks, which are fascinating, because the campus was pretty limited then. Brown Hall and the football oval, a couple of outdoor basketball courts, and all of this beautiful land surrounding it that we would later come to know and love as the ULM campus.
You've mentioned some of the growth of the university and just some of the beautification, but things that have changed even recently since you've been on and off this campus.
Well, interestingly, I remember when Olin Hall was constructed, a kind of a semi-skyscraper on the campus, a dominant building. And I was here about 10 or 12 years ago when Olin Hall was imploded. It was quite a campus event. And the needs of the university have changed regarding student housing, the taste of students, and the demands of students. They want something more similar to what they might be living in off campus. We've seen the construction of the iconic library building, where I've attended many events on the library, the seventh floor of the conference center. And most recently, the transformation of the old auditorium into the spectacular and transformative Bayou Point venue. So it's exciting to watch things change. Some things have stayed the same, and I hope they never change, like Brown Hall, which is such a magnificent structure, both as a listening venue as well as a performing venue. We've actually had a couple of sessions of my court, the Second Circuit Court of Appeal, here back in years past, and I'm delighted to see those buildings so painstakingly restored to their original grandeur.
You've got a long and storied history of public service in a variety of different venues, between Monroe City Council, starting the first drug court in the area, to now your work with the Wellspring and St. Francis Foundations. What does service mean to you?
Well, it's trying to find ways to be involved with something larger than yourself. And the Bible says that we're all given different talents. And the challenge is for us to discover where our talents fit best. And just going to the Wellspring, for example, when I was on the district court, we saw many, many instances of domestic violence. And through the creation of a task force that I served on, they developed a protocol for the uniform handling and sensitive handling of domestic violence cases, the creation of a shelter for women and children affected by domestic violence. And now serving on the foundation, we've kind of got new people involved in serving actively on that board. The drug court was probably the most rewarding work that I did while I was on the district court, the trial court. We created the first one, and I served for not quite 2 years. It's kind of emotionally exhausting because you're dealing with real people and their real problems, and not just case files. And the judges that have followed me in that assignment have made the program even better. It's had a remarkable track record, both locally and as part of a larger national program of treatment for people with drug addiction, substance abuse, drug addiction problems, rather than just regarding it strictly as a criminal justice problem.
You're going to be speaking at a commencement to students starting their life after scholarship. How would you relate to them what it means to be a part of that bigger picture?
Well, it's dawning, I'm sure, for them. Many of them have an idea what they're going to do, what they've studied and trained for, but others don't. And they may end up going into an area that they had no idea 2 years ago that they would be following. I know that one of my sons experienced that following his graduation from college. And so I guess some of the pieces of advice I would want to give is that they must be nimble. They have to be able to adjust and continuously acquire new skills as they pursue their careers, not reject out of hand the idea of maybe they have to move a couple of times. I think the ideas of working for a company 35, 40 years and getting a big fat company pension, and that's probably not ever coming back. But I would say don't be afraid. You have prepared yourself emotionally and mentally for the entry into the workforce or the research lab, as the case may be. Some will go on to professional schools. Others may enter business. I hope a lot of them will want to stay around here, Jay, because we know that our region, with more college graduates, that will improve the quality of our life, which should reduce crime. It should have we should have a healthier population, a higher quality of life, more purchasing power in the community.
Judge Milton Moore serves on the Louisiana Second Circuit Court of Appeals. He'll be speaking at the commencement at the University of Louisiana-Monroe on Saturday, May 12th. Judge Moore, thanks so much for talking with us.
It's been an honor. Thank you for asking.